Welcome to the Victory Orlando Church Podcast. We are so glad you decided to join us. We want to help you to know God, find freedom, and discover your divine purpose so that you can make a difference with your life. We pray this message encourages you, inspires you, brings you hope, and builds your faith.
Well, we've been talking about the valleys of life, the low places. We've been in a series called In the Valley. Anybody been in a valley before? Maybe you've driven through one, but maybe you've been in the valley of life before. A low season, a painful season, a hurtful season, or just kind of that valley season. And we did a message last week and I called it Be Faithful with the Cheese. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay. It's available on our podcast, our YouTube channel. I started that last week. I want to kind of finish that this week and looking at one of the most famous Bible stories of all time, David and Goliath, right? David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And so if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you don't have a paper Bible and you want one, we'd love to help you get one. Or you can download a free one, a YouVersion Bible app on any smartphone or tablet. You can get that there. 1 Samuel chapter 17, today the word of the Lord is the valley of battle. There is a battle in the valley, that's where it takes place, and so I want to look at this. Verse 2 and 3 really paint the picture of the battle for us. It says, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah. Let me hear you say, in the valley.
In the valley.
They camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites the other hill, and the valley was between them. So can you picture that in your mind's eye? There's a hill on each side, and in the middle is the valley. On one side is the enemy. On one side, the other side is the Israelite army. And the battle is set to take place in the valley. That's where the battle takes place. And it's the same is true in our lives. The battles that we face are in the valley, right? Because the hills, the mountains are where everybody wants to be. You know what I'm saying? We all want to be in the good times. We all want to be, you know, in the hills. But the reality is there are valleys that take place between the hills. And we will all go through mountain seasons. We will all be on the hills. But we will also all experience valleys in this life. I don't know if maybe sometimes you look at your life and you're like, you look at an enemy, something that's coming to occupy the promise of God that is yours. You ever had an enemy come at you and try to steal something from you that God has given you? Now, I'm not talking about a natural enemy. I'm talking about something spiritual, something in life that comes at you. God said you'll be blessed, that you'll have abundance, and you're looking at that you're broke and you don't have enough to get by. You have an enemy that's coming at you. Is there something that comes to steal your joy? Something that comes to rob peace from you? Something that is coming at your life to take you out of the thing that God has given you already? That's where the Israelites were. They were on one hill, and their enemy was on another hill. The reality is, though, is that the hill their enemy was on belonged to the Israelites. It was both the hills were theirs, and the valley was theirs, but this enemy came into the land to push them out of the thing God had brought them into. God had brought his children out of Egypt, out of slavery. He said, I'm going to bring you into a land. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be flowing with milk and honey. They called it the promised land. We know it as the nation of Israel today, that geographical area. God gave the Jewish people, the Israelites, right? And here we have an enemy, the Philistines, coming to push them out of the land God had given them. And can I tell you, that's how our spiritual enemy still works today? That's his goal. That's the devil's goal, is to push you out of the thing God said, I'm going to give to you. To push you out of the promises. To push you out of peace. To push you away from provision. To push you away from protection. To push you away from all that God has called you to. To push you away from the dreams that God planted in your heart and all that God has called you to be. To keep you away from experiencing more of God's presence and his anointing. That is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come and occupy some territory that is yours. So the question is, where have you given up the territory to the enemy? Where have you settled and been like, well, okay, like I know God said that's for me and God is good, but really this area is just like, I just give up on that. There's some areas, see, the Israelites would have had to run from that land to allow the enemy to occupy it.
The enemy crept in, took control of their land, and now is threatening them and trying to push them out. So what is that place for you? Maybe it's, you know, in relationships. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your destiny or the dreams that God has given you. Maybe it's in your marriage and you're just like, well, I guess this is, which is always going to be friction. It's always going to be tough. We're always just going to have to try to work things out. Whatever it is, there's some area of our life, there's some hill in your life that God has given you, but the enemy has come in and pushed you out and tried to say, this is mine, and it's really yours, and we've got to take the hill. The reality is if you're going to take the hill, you're going to have to go through the valley of battle. You're going to have to go through the valley of battle and defeat the enemy and drive it out of the thing God has already given you. The Israelites were on one hill. The Philistines were on the other. The valley was in between them. Verse 4, a champion named Goliath. Let me hear you say Goliath. That was good, but let's try it one more time in your best like radio voice, your early morning voice, you know, where it's deep and low, Goliath. Let me hear you. That was totally underwhelming, but that's okay. A champion named Goliath came out, and he was from Gath. He came out of the Philistine camp, and his height was 6 cubits and a span. In our day and time, that's about 3 meters, or 9 feet, 9 inches, almost 10 feet tall, right? He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scaled armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, approximately 125 pounds. That's a whole person, somebody, you know, like 125 pounds. And on his legs, he wore bronze greaves or shin guards, basically. And a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, approximately 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down here to fight me. If he's able to fight me and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him, and I will, right, then and I kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and afraid. See, the number one goal of the enemy was to drive the people of God out of the place God had brought them to and bring them into bondage. That's what our spiritual enemy wants to do today. He wants to take us out of the place that God has brought us to and bring us to a place of bondage, right? When God brings us out of darkness and into light, our spiritual enemy, the devil, wants to take us out of light and push us back into darkness. When it's like when God heals that broken place in your heart, you know, and then you have somebody, you interact with somebody in a relationship in some way, and then all of a sudden, all those feelings of brokenness and abandonment come back up to the surface, you know what I'm talking about? And sometimes it is a circus, you know? And it's like things start swirling again. It's like God brought you to a place of healing, and in a moment, the enemy comes in to bully you and push you out of that place of healing back to a place of brokenness, right? It's, you know, it's when, you know, like, you like I've been struggling with this thing and for so long, and I thought I'd finally be free from it, and then God brought me to a place of freedom, and then in a moment, something brings you right back to that place, and you're right back in bondage again. That's the battle. That's the valley of battle that we find ourselves in. And God has brought, wants to bring us to a place of healing and freedom. But then the lies of the enemy, the taunts of the enemy, the shouts of the enemy that come at us through words, that come at us through thoughts, that come at us in our dreams, that come at us in our feelings and say, you're not good enough, you're a failure, you're not the right one, it's just going to be brokenness and everything's going to fall apart. All of those lies start coming at us again to rob from us. So what is the giant that's shouting at you, trying to rob from you what God has given you as his son or his daughter? What is the giant that's robbing from you? Make no mistake. That is what the devil wants to do. He wants to get us to leave a place that God has brought us to. God brought his children, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, brought them to this land, right? And the enemy is there to get them to leave. I would just say if God brought you to a place, that's a good place to stay. You ought to stay. If God brings you to a place, you ought to stay. And I've seen people where God, they prayed for a church, they prayed for a place to be, and God brings them and connects them. And then because of a job or because of a this or a that, they uproot their family and move to somewhere else when God never told them to leave because they're looking for a promotion or whatever else or more provision. When can I tell you the job is not the provision?
Amen.
God is the provider. He is the one that brings provision. So before you make a move or move out of a place because of hurt or offense or whatever, ask God, God, are you leading me here? Or is this something the enemy is trying to get me to leave? If God brought you to a place, you ought to stay there until he tells you to leave.
Amen.
Come on. I think we just got to, you know, awaken a little bit to this sometimes. That we're, as people, sometimes we're too quick to back out of things, to let go, to uproot. When if we would just hold on to the promise and the word that God spoke to us and stay in some places. If wherever, listen, wherever God leads you, good, bad, people or whatever, the best place you can be is right in the center of God's will. So wherever he leads you, he will provide for you. And if he led you to a place, even if it's a valley, you're going to be all right. Come on. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it through, baby. Look at somebody sitting there. You're going to say, we're going to make it. Come on. That's right. You're going to make it. So the Philistines, the enemy, they send out their champion warrior, the undisputed, you know, their champion, Goliath. And for 40 days, 40 nights, he's shouting, cursing, taunting, jeering, making fun of the Israelites in the valley. And here the people of God are facing this giant. And what we have to understand is that there is a difference between a giant and a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
We all have problems. Problems generally can be solved. You know, like there's generally a solution. We can take care of this. Let's negotiate. Let's figure this out. But a giant can't be solved. You can't negotiate with a giant. A giant has to be taken out. A giant's head has to be cut off. Like a giant has to be killed. There's a difference between a giant and a problem. A problem is generally like it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, we can take care of it. But a giant is here today and then you wake up and it's still there and then you go to sleep in the next week and the next week and it's still shouting, it's still there. I thought I wouldn't have to deal with this the rest of my life. And then when I was a kid, maybe I had this problem, but then I thought I'd get married and take care of it and that giant followed you into marriage, right? Or whatever it is, and you thought, oh, if I just move to a new job, I'll be free of this giant. You move to a new job, and that giant is still there. He follows you to the new church because you thought, if I get rid of those people, then I'll be better in this church. And whatever, it follows you to the new church. The giant is the thing that is relentless, that keeps coming 40 days, 40 nights, 40 weeks, 40 months. And you're like, how is this thing still with me? Why can't I seem to shake it? Paul wrote about it, and he said, there's some things I don't want to do it, but then I end up back in this place again. There's a giant. It's this relentless thing that keeps coming out. Us. Giants are different than problems, and we've got to realize and understand the difference between just problems and giants, because if we see everything as a giant, we're going to be throwing our stones at every giant, but God has only given us the 5 stones, and then we'll be out of stones by the time it comes to the giants. If we throw our stones at everything, we got to know what's the giant in our lives so that we can move forward. And we have to realize it's important, because the result of the battle with the giant, it affected the outcome of the current and future generations of whether they would live in blessing or whether they would live in curse, whether they would live in freedom or whether they would live in bondage. Come on. Whether they would live in the things that God had called them to or they would not experience all that God has for them. Even when God brought the people out of Egypt, he said, today I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Therefore, it's an open book test. Choose life. God has given us the ability on how to face the giant. He's given us the ability on how we're going to react in the face of the giant, whether we choose to head into the valley of battle and defeat this giant or be like the armies of Israel and run and hide in fear. We have the choice to make whether we're going to be David or whether we're going to be the armies of Israel and Saul and hide. Come on. Isn't it interesting that all Goliath did was shout? He didn't put on a display of strength. He just started talking. He just started shouting. He said some words, and based on those words, fear rushed through the camp. Warriors who had armor, who had training, who had experience in battle, based on some words of one giant, ran and hid in fear. Some translation says they were paralyzed with fear. Anybody been there before? Come on, you don't have to raise your hand. We've all been in that place where we've been gripped by fear, where words have come, thoughts have come, fear has come to try to get us to run away from the thing that God has given us. It's so easy in those moments when we feel gripped by fear to not hear the words of faith anymore, because all we can hear is the fear that's going on. And maybe it's because, the giant has been shouting about things that's been in your family. You know, maybe it's a mindset that you've had or the fear of lack. Maybe it's been anxiety or depression. Maybe it's been broken relationships in your family that have been shouting. Or maybe it's self-imposed limitations or just that constant disqualifying yourself. Come on, there's some giants that constantly come and say, no, you're not good enough. somebody else better than you can. And so we constantly back ourselves down. And I know, because I've had that giant in my life, especially when I stepped into this role, there was giants. There was actual voices, actual people who said, are you sure you can do this? I don't think I can do this. I haven't been trained for this. You know, like there are giants and we've got to face. And that's why it, when it comes to the word, and I'm so thankful for the moments that God spoke to me through his word that says our confidence doesn't come through people. Our confidence comes through him. Come on. Too often we disqualify ourselves because of what other people have said or haven't said or what we perceive they say. Come on. There's giants shouting at us all the time. Some it's addictions or maybe divorce in your family. This is how it's always been and everybody ends up whatever. Or maybe it's, you know, the giant shouting for your purity. Come on. There's giants shouting for our purity and trying to get us to adopt cultural norms of what it means to have a boyfriend and girlfriend and whatever, all that kind of stuff. There's giants shouting at us all the time. It's the thing that keeps showing up. It's the king that we can't seem to shake on our own, that we just try to deal with it and cope with it, and it's there. It's this giant. It could be that this is the giant, and it's there, seeming so inescapable. You know, the name Goliath, translated in the original Hebrew, it means to remove, to uncover, or to send to exile. That's what Goliath means. Isn't that interesting? That the giant comes to remove you from the promises of God, to send you into exile, to get you to live in bondage once again. But God has brought you into freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when you receive Christ, when you put your faith in Christ, you receive inside of you in a moment the love of God. Scripture says God pours his love inside of you. He says it's shed abroad, poured into your heart. He says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you, right? So God is in you. Come on. Are you getting this today? And here the enemy comes to drive us away from that, to send us back to that addiction, to that brokenness before, as if we're just meant to cope with it. So the question is, what keeps robbing from you? What is existing in your life to remove the things of God from your life? Jesus told a story of a parable, the parable of the sower. He says, whoever preaches the word, shares the word, is sowing the word. So even right now, I'm sowing the word in your life. But he said, each person, the heart, is different ground. There's good ground. We pray that all the time. Lord, our hearts are good ground. But he said, there's also ground that is hard. There's ground that is stony and thorny. And that's the condition of all of our hearts, our lives. And he said, there's one type of ground where the enemy literally comes to steal the word. What is coming to steal the word, trying to steal the word? I believe we are good ground in this life and we are on defense against the enemy that's trying to come and steal the word. But there is an enemy coming to steal the word. What is it that keeps coming at you to steal your joy, to rob peace from you, to bring friction and division back into your home? What is it that is the giant in your life trying to bring guilt and condemnation back into your life to push you down and convince you that you're not good enough? What is it? It could be your giant, right? That's the Goliath in your life. I think it's important that we figure out what the giant is so that we can have some boldness to name it, because if we refuse to name an enemy, how could we ever have victory over it? Amen. If we refuse to face it, how could we cut off its head? Come on, I believe God wants to give you some courage today. He wants to fill you with some boldness, to raise up some Davids in the house. There's a difference between a boy who had no training and an entire army who had training, experience, and all the armor, and they ran and hid, and a teenage pimple-faced boy is the one who ran out and killed the giant. I believe God wants to raise you up today. Come on, give you some confidence. What was the difference between the two reactions? I want to talk about this today. Then the valley of battle. We can react in any way, but I believe God wants to react like David, right? Here's Goliath there to take away your promises, to control your land, drive you into captivity. And here comes David. David, a kid who's too young to be in the story. He didn't belong in the story. They even said, David, you're not old enough to be in the army. What are you doing here? A kid who didn't have any training. He didn't have the right training to go fight this giant. This dude was like the UFC champion of the world. You know, if he was the champion, he had won some battles. In fact, if he had lost the battles, he would have been dead. But he was alive. He had won some battles. He had earned a reputation as a great warrior. And you just have to know the giants coming at your life have won some battles before you. They've taken out some people. But it's not to be afraid. It's to be alert. It's to be aware. It's to be sober and realize, like, hey, there is an enemy, but God is on my side. Come on, I've got the power of Christ. We're going to take this enemy out. Here, David doesn't belong in this story. He doesn't have the right tools. He's got some cheese. He comes to the battle with some cheese. Maybe Goliath was hungry. I don't know. But here, it's the cheese that David has that brings him to the battle in the valley. Without the cheese, he doesn't make it to the battle. David had to be faithful with the cheese. And so God skipped over an army who was afraid, people with training. The army of Israel, they were legendary warriors. These would have been like baseball card heroes, and you're trading for the best one. David maybe probably knew their names and the exploits that they had done. And here they are running and hiding. And God skips over the king and the army of trained professionals for a skinny, teenage, ruddy, handsome kid to take out a giant that other people were unwilling to take out. Come on. So don't tell me that God can't use you because you don't have enough training, because you don't know enough scripture. Don't tell me that God can't use your life because you haven't been to seminary, or you weren't raised in the right family, or whatever, or you're new to this faith stuff. Don't tell me that God can't use your life. If you got breath in your lungs and you've given your life to Christ, you are the one God has chosen. God can use your life. He's just looking for people who are willing to say, God, whatever you want to do through me. He's looking for people who are submitted to him, who have some courage, who have some true grit and some boldness to say, oh, I'll show up. That giant might look big, but he looks too big to miss to me. Come on. God is looking for people. You know, David didn't have a whole lot. We have more Bible teaching than David ever had. David only had the first few books of the Bible. We got 66 books. We have leadership podcasts. You can get preaching podcasts. You can get, you know, worship songs and devotionals, and every little thing your heart desires to build your faith at any given moment is at the palm of your hand right here. David didn't have any of that. He had to make up his own Psalms. He's out in the desert with his slingshot in his harp, making up his own songs. He didn't have "How Great Is Our God." He didn't have a band behind him to make you feel the little goosebumps and everything you feel when they're singing. He didn't know about the dry bones rattling because that hadn't been written yet. We have more access to more Bible teaching and more faith and more of the power of God and salvation and wholeness through Jesus than David could ever dream of. And here's this little teenage kid, and more often than not, we're over here with the children of Israel hiding in the caves. I don't know what I'm going to do. Depression feels so hard. I just don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And David is over here. He's like, what's wrong with y'all? Come on, it's time to awaken the giant that's inside of us. Come on, I came to preach today. I hope y'all came ready. Brought my inner TD Jakes today. Come on. I just came to remind somebody that you are the one God has chosen. You don't have to wait for somebody else to come along and say something. No, other people are probably not going to say the things to propel you to what God has called you to. But God has chosen you, and it's not because of how much education you have, or if you've been to the right school, or if you have enough money in your bank account, or if you look good enough, or whatever, or what your background is. It's simply because God has marked you for destiny. It's simply because God has called you and chosen you and said, hey, you are a chosen generation. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to equip you with everything that you need so that you can go out and be significant in this life. There is greatness inside of you. I don't care how young you are. Come on, where's my young people at? I see some of them right over here. There is greatness inside of you. You are young at heart, brother. I love you. I am too. Come on. There's greatness inside of you. Come on, there is greatness inside of you. And it's not determined based on how you compared to other people. It's not, your greatness inside of you is not based upon how quickly it comes out of you, or do you measure up to other people. It's based on what God has put on inside of you and designed you to accomplish. Come on, there's greatness inside of you. So let's stop comparing ourselves to other people. David's dad sends him with the bread and the cheese to his brothers. And David gets to the army with the cheese, just so happens to be at the time when Goliath is coming out. And so he leaves the cheese in the care of the supply keeper, because David knows how to be faithful with the cheese, right? And then he runs to the battle line as the giant is shouting, day 41. The giant is there shouting again. And as he's shouting, David is getting up to the battle lines, asking his brothers, hey, what's this going on? Who's this guy? And all of a sudden, the entire army is running the other direction. David is like, hold up, guys. Where are you going? And somebody grabs him. David, duck. Come on. Take cover. Get down. So here's David hiding in a cave, with guys in armor, with swords, and all the training. Verse 26, David asked the men near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Come on, I love the boldness of David. Here's this little kid. Amen. Come on. And I think it's time we start asking this question. Who is this giant? How dare you come at me and try to take what God has put in my hand? Who is this giant? Just who do you think you are? See, David, by saying this uncircumcised Philistine, circumcision was a physical sign of covenant, of relationship with God. And David is saying, who is this person who doesn't know God and thinks he can come in and take what God has given me? I think it's time we start asking this question and looking at the giants in our lives and saying, who do you think you are, giant? Who is this giant that's coming at me? Who fear do you think you are? Who generational curse do you think you are? Who lack do you think you are? Depression? You think you're so bad? Let me introduce you to my friend. His name is Jesus. Amen. Come on. It's time we start asking this question and get some boldness about ourselves, right? But David's brother, when he heard the question, that he saw the boldness of David, he got offended. David, shut up. Who do you think you are? Just be quiet. You're too young to be here. Shouldn't you be back in the field with those few sheep? And I just got to tell you, the moment that you allow God to move through your life, you allow boldness to rise up on the inside of you, there will be critics. There will be people who say you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes, but just let, haters gonna hate, baby. So just let them hate. Just let them hate. Because shouldn't David's brothers, the ones criticizing him, that were in the army, that had the armor and the training, yes, they should have been the ones to go out and defeat the giant. King Saul should have been the one to go out. He had the authority. He had paid. He was the king. He had the backup. The army would have been there behind him. He should have gone out and killed the giant. And here, God uses a kid who is willing to volunteer and stand up and declare the name of Jesus in a situation. He uses that kid instead of the ones who were trained and equipped and had the place and authority to do it. So what about you? Come on. God wants to use your life to kill some giants, right? Right? God is not looking for the one with the most or the best. He's looking for those who are submitted. He's looking for those who will be faithful with the cheese. He's looking for those who will stand up and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? God, you don't have to have it all together. That's why it always makes me laugh a little bit when people have the opportunity to step up into a place of leadership or serve, you know, like especially with kids, they're like, I don't know what I would say to the kid. I don't know enough about the Bible to help in the kids. Like, you don't have to know enough about the Bible. You just have to show up. Amen. Come on. We discredit ourselves as if God isn't enough in a moment to do something through us. God said, I'll fill your mouth with the right words to say. He said, I'll give you things to say. He said, I've put my spirit inside of you. You already have everything you need to step up into a place that God is leading you. And what we need to realize is that there are moments when we've been carrying the cheese that God calls us to set the cheese aside and step into the battle. So don't be afraid of the moments where God shifts you into a new season to say, I know you've been carrying the cheese, but now I need you to be in the battle. God is looking for those who will have some courage, who have some boldness in the face of a giant. So if you feel overlooked, if you feel forgotten, like David was forgotten out in the fields, then you're in the right place. Come on, you're in the right place for God to develop a giant killer in you. You're in the right place. When you feel forsaken, you are mistaken. God hasn't forsaken you. He's probably put you in a valley. He's put you in a place of obscurity to train you, to develop some character in you, so that when you face the giant, you will be the one to rise up and cut its head off. Imagine if David had been throwing himself a pity party out in the fields with the sheep. My dad doesn't even think I'm worth being a king. He left me out here. He doesn't even like me. They don't want me around. They don't think I'm good enough. And I'm just out here with the sheep and they smell bad and now I smell bad and then things just aren't going my way and it's just so unfair. Imagine if David would have thrown himself a pity party, or if he would have had a meltdown and no one picked me and I'm not carrying the cheese. That's a job for somebody else. I'm the king, baby. Give that job to, that's below me. Imagine if he had had that meltdown. Anytime we enter into this place of complaining and murmuring and gossip and pitying ourselves, we will miss the promises of God. We will never live in the promises when we're living in complaining and gossiping and murmuring. Think about the children of Israel for a moment. God brought them out of slavery. 400 years they had lived in slavery in Egypt. God performs amazing miracles, the 10 plagues of Egypt. Then he parts the Red Sea. They walk through on dry ground, come into, as they're traveling to the promised land, and all of a sudden they start complaining. Moses, you brought us out here to die. We should have died in Egypt. That would have been better. And we just don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. And they're better off than we were. And they start complaining, comparing, gossiping against Moses and against God. And God says what? None of you will enter into the promised land.
That's right.
Somebody else got to live in the promise they were supposed to live in because they chose to be gossiping, complaining, and murmuring. Listen, that will keep you from the promised land. In other words, you choose your attitude in the valley. You choose your attitude in the valley. And your attitude determines your altitude, always. Always determines the level you rise to based on your attitude. Psalms chapter 100, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord when you're on the mountaintops." It doesn't say that on the mountaintops. It just says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Period. Worship the Lord with gladness when you get everything you want from Him. No, just worship the Lord with gladness. Choose your attitude. Come before Him with joyful songs. So you can come before Him with your sad song. You can come before Him with your pity song or whatever. But He's just given us the instruction, hey, come before Him with joy. Come before Him with gladness. Like, to come, it's attitude. We choose the attitude. And I believe God is looking for people that He's going to advance and bring to the giant to kill them. He's looking for people with attitudes of faith and courage to say, you know what? I'm not facing this giant alone. God is on my side, and I am well able to defeat whatever giant is before me. I'm well able to make it through this valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. So I'm good. I got this. You comfort me, God, in the middle of the valley. So maybe you're thinking, Pastor, that's great. I'm glad you're so excited today. But what does this have to do with me? Great question. Thank you for asking. Come on. I want to, through the story of David killing the giant, I want to highlight five things that I think are going to help us to rise to this place where God wants to bring us to be giant killers. Five characteristics. The first one is this. We studied it last week. Be faithful with the cheese. It wasn't the big day that got David to the giant. It was the small. It was the meaningless moments, the moments in obscurity that got David to the giant. He was carrying cheese to his brothers. They didn't know he was coming. We don't even know if they like cheese. Some people don't like pizza, and that's crazy, but I love pizza, and probably too much. But David is carrying the cheese. No one knows he's coming. And even in the moment when everyone's running to do the thing, to run to the battle, David doesn't just throw the cheese aside. He leaves it in the care of somebody else. We've got to be faithful with the small things that don't matter to anybody else but God. It's the small things that are more important than you ever realize that lead to the greatest victories. It's the small things, right? If you'll be faithful with the promise, the process, then you can live in the promise. Come on, we got to be faithful in the process. And so I just encourage you, the places that make you want to complain, I dare you to praise. In the places that, you know, in the valley, when you've been there so long and you feel like it's unfair, I dare you just lift up your voice and give God thanks in that place. When you're carrying the cheese and you feel stuck in the valley, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Keep trusting God in the place. Why? Because it's not the destination that matters. It's the process that you're going through that's developing who you will really become. Come on, it's carrying the cheese, it's going through this process, not living in the thing you've dreamed about, not walking in the thing that somebody prophesied over you and said, I have a word from the Lord, and it's been years and you haven't seen it come. You know, it's not doing the thing you hoped you would be or being in the position you thought you would be. It's that place that we got to learn to be okay.
That's right.
It's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You're going to make it through. God is with you. And if God has you there, there's something God is doing. He is up to something. Come on, somebody. Here's the next characteristic, new one today that I want to point out. Number one, be faithful with the cheese. Number two, the right vision leads to courage. The wrong vision leads to discouragement. The right vision leads to courage. The wrong vision, the wrong sight leads to discouragement. David, he didn't see Goliath the same way that King Saul and the armies of Israel saw Goliath. They both saw the same thing. They both saw the same giant. There were two visions of a single problem. One vision led a boy without armor and without training to defeat a giant that an army couldn't defeat. It's vision. So it's not about what you have or don't have. It's about what you can see. Killing the giant is about what you can see. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." This is the most savage passage of scripture right here. I love it. He says, "I've been keeping my daddy's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from its flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." That is savage. I don't care what y'all say. Some of y'all see a spider, and you're like, ah! David sees a bear and a lion. Some of us seen it on our ring camera from 5 miles away. We're like, thank you, Lord, I just sat on the ring and not in my yard. He sees it and he runs to it and kills it, right? And he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. So Saul was like, hallelujah. Go ahead. The Lord be with you. There's a little, good luck. The funeral will be nice. Right? It's kind of the voice he's saying it with. But that's why I say, when you face Goliath, it's not about what you have or don't have. It's about what you can see. Yeah. David didn't have anything. He had a shepherd's staff and a slingshot. The armies, they had everything. They had training. They had armor. They had generals. They had strategies. They had experience in battle. They had all that they needed, and yet they are paralyzed with fear, running and hiding, unwilling to face the giant, right? So you can have all the training. You can have all the armor and still be living in fear. You can have the Bible under your arm. You can have it memorized, and you can know the right things to say. You can know the right moments to lift your hands during worship and have the right smile on your face when you get out of your car and still be living in fear and still be living in bondage. You can have all that you need and not be walking in all that God has called you into because there's an enemy. And some of us have settled with the enemy. We're okay with the enemy because, you know, maybe I can manage it and cope with it and keep it at arm's length. And it's become so familiar now that it's just part of life when God has called you to cut its head off. So what if we stopped praying, God, give me more. God, give me more influence. Give me more money. Give me more ability. And we just started praying, God, give me the right vision. Help me to see things the way that you see them. Help me to see that difficult person in my family the way you see them. Come on. Thanksgiving is coming up. You're going to have lots of opportunity to let the love of Jesus show. You know, what if we ask God to give us vision? Because the right vision, there's some giants that there's no training, there's no armor, nothing can prepare you for. Only the vision that God gives you can allow you to see the giant too big to miss. That you are the one called to take it out. So we need God to give us fresh vision. Help me see beyond just the problems and the giants that are in front of me, right? That's why the devil is always after your vision. He's always trying to get you to see the vision of the worst case scenario, right? I don't know, like, isn't that fear always runs us down to the worst case rabbit hole, you know, especially right now in coronavirus. You get that little tickle in your throat and you're like, oh my gosh, I think I have coronavirus and I'm probably going to end up intubated and going to die. And all it was a little crumb from the cracker you just ate. You know, but that's what the enemy does. He wants to change your vision from the promise to the worst case scenario in a moment. He's after your vision. God, give us fresh vision. Vision leads to courage. Yeah. Here's the next one. Your past is fuel for your future. Past is fuel for your future. In other words, God has been training you. He's been training you all along. In the highs and in the valleys, God has been training you. And he's been doing it to prepare you for the giants that are in your life. Yep. Come on. David, remember, he'd been out in the hills with the sheep. He'd been fighting and killing lions and bears, playing his harp, practicing his slingshot. Probably seemed like mundane life, just day in and day out. I'm out there with the sheep. Got another bear, another lion, another day of singing to myself, and the sheep are making noises. Maybe they're raising their hooves, bah, you know, or whatever. It's just life. And there he is. He's just doing the mundane. And we have to realize is that God trains each of us differently. God doesn't train you like he trains other people. God trained David with sheep in the wilderness because God needed somebody. Let me say it this way. He didn't train David the same way he trained Saul in the army because he needed somebody who would respond differently than a king in an army. The king and the army were paralyzed with fear. God trained David differently so that he would respond with faith and courage. God trains us differently because God didn't create you to be an awkward second-rate copy of somebody else. Yep. Now, I always joke about, I brought my inner TD Jakes to preach today, and it's true, like, I love Bishop Jakes. He is awesome. I'm so thankful for Bishop Jakes, amazing leader in the body of Christ, and we are better believers because of his voice and what God does through his life. And I wish I could preach like T.D. Jakes because he could preach the paint off the walls. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I was like, Lord,
But I can only be a second-rate, really bad copy of T.D. Jakes. I could get up here, get ready, get ready, get ready. And it's not even good. I could be a really bad T.D. Jakes. I could be a really bad Stephen Furtick. But God didn't create me to be Stephen Furtick. He didn't create me to be Bishop Jakes. He didn't create me to be you. He created me to be a first-rate Chris Ross. I can be the best that I can be. And the same is true for you. The same is true in your life. He created you to be a first-rate, full of His Spirit, full of His power, you. So let's stop looking to the mirror of Instagram and Facebook and relationships to see who we should be, how we should act, how our vacation should be. Let's stop looking to say, oh, I got to take on all this debt just so that everyone will think that I'm good and as well off as they are and that I can post as good of vacation pictures as them and whatever else. And let's start looking into the mirror of God's word, which says it's the perfect law of liberty that brings freedom, that causes us to move to be have the fullness of God in our lives. Yeah. We got to stop comparing to the wrong things. And like scripture says, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Yeah. That means He's written the beginning of our faith. He knows the end. And so He's writing the rest in between. But if we're riding along with everybody else, trying to be them, trying to be like them, trying to do what they're doing, trying to compare my stats to theirs.
Yeah.
And I know it's easy. I mean, as a church leader, it's easy to compare. You know, I'm seeing other pastor friends, they baptized 3,000 people today. And then it's like, great, we're in a room with 1,200 square feet. I get it. It's not easy. But sometimes we need to shut some things off. Yeah. We need to shut some voices off. We need to, so that we can keep our eyes on Jesus, just realizing where we're at, right? Here, verse 38, Saul tries to make David fit in with him. I want you to be like us. I'm going to try to make you look like a warrior so when you go out there, you don't embarrass us. Verse 38, Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put his coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet. Doesn't that sound like Goliath? I want you to look like him. I want you to look like you belong. I want you to look like you fit in. And David fastened the sword over his tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. That's a prophetic word that God is speaking to us today. There's some things that we have put on that we need to take off. We have put some things on in our lives, and it's time to take them off. We need to take off some fear that we put on in our lives. It's time for us to take depression and anxiety off of our lives because some people wear it around like a badge. See how depressed they are? See how anxious they are? We need to take some things off. Take off some self-imposed limitations. I can only go this far, and that's all that I'm good for. We need to take off what culture says about purity. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to take off some things and finally begin to develop what God has put in your hand. If David had gone to the battle in Saul's armor, how could he have ever wielded that slingshot that actually killed the giant? God has already given you what you need to kill the giant. But he didn't give it to somebody else. He gave it to you on purpose. And he didn't give you what he gave to them because he gave you what you needed for your giant.
That's right.
Come on, take some things off. So he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand approached the Philistine. Come on, that is crazy to think about. Here's this little kid, 15-year-old kid. You let your 15-year-old go with a sling and a stone and a staff to face a 10-foot-tall UFC champion. Come on, that is crazy. But here he is going out there, right? And what's interesting is that when David and Saul were talking about it, David didn't say, I'll give him my best shot. I'll do what I can, but no promises. You know, like, no, David was just like, let me go. Let me go. I will go kill this giant and remove it. I'm not just going to get lucky. God is going to be with me. David had some true grit. He had some boldness. He had something from his past that he had been through that he could point to for his future. His past was fuel for his future. He said, you know, King, there was this time, I know you think I can't do it, but there was this time when I was with these sheep and this bear came up out of nowhere, grabbed one of the sheep. They're not even my sheep. I could have let him have it lunch, you know, lunch to go. But I was like, you ain't taking my sheep. I'm going to be faithful what's been given to me. And so I struck it. I rescued the sheep. And can you believe that bear came at me? And you know what I did? I was like, let's go.
I grabbed that bear by its hair, and I got its rug in my tent. I got a bearskin rug. And while I was killing that bear, can you believe there was this lion stalking me in the grass, and I didn't even know it was there. And while I was skinning this bear that I just killed, this lion jumps out and grabs the sheep. And I was like, do you see this dead bear? I'm not letting you take my sheep. And I struck that lion down, ripped it apart with my bare hands. And that's why I'm wearing this lion on me today, King. David's past was fuel for his future. So if God was with me to save me from a lion and a bear, he'll be with me when I face this giant. He's no different than them. His past was fuel for his future. And when we can begin to understand that what we've been through, that what we've walked through is fuel for our future, we can finally stop being offended at the hurt we experienced and all that we didn't have and realize that God was in the midst of it. Don't we always say, God is working all things together for my good because we love him, we're called according to his purpose. Everybody, we quote it, but could it be? Could it be that God is working all the bad things in our lives for our good? Not just so that we are more comfortable and we have more and we're more blessed, but so that those around us would experience freedom and healing and see how good God is. Because isn't that what the giant said? It was a generational thing. We will serve you or you will serve us based on who wins. So the battle is not just about us. What God is turning for our good is not just about us. It's generational. It affects people around us. It's meant to bring an entire nation. Had David lost, it would be a completely different story today. The nation of Israel would have been in bondage for generation, right? But David won, and it was the other way around. It brought freedom to an entire generation. Your past is fuel for your future. Here's the fourth one. It goes right along. You've already been trained for this battle. You've already been trained for this battle. I know your past feels like a setback, but it was really a divine setup for what God wants to do in your future, right? See, too often when God leads us into the valley of battle, many people start thinking they don't know what to do. They start thinking, you know, they haven't been trained for this. What if they mess up? What if they're not good enough? And they think that fighting the giant means having all the answers. But it doesn't. It doesn't mean having all the answers. It's the cheese that brought David to the battle, right? At the same time, it's time to set down the cheese and step into the battle. We can't be afraid of that moment to step into and become a giant killer. If God leads you to a battle, then you have been trained for it. You have what it takes. I know it looks different than everybody else, but if God has led you there, he has been training you. He wouldn't bring you to a place that he hasn't trained you for. He wouldn't bring you to a place you're not equipped for. He wouldn't especially bring you to a place and be like, okay, let me know how it works out. No, he's like, let's go, I got you. God brings you to a place you have been trained for it, right? And so I would just say, God is not surprised by all that we've been through. We go through painful moments, we go through valleys, and God allows it. God allows us to walk through low moments and painful things. And God isn't the one that causes pain. God is not our problem, but we do go through those moments. And God allows us to go through some low moments. But could it be that in those low moments that God is training us? Could it be that instead of just complaining about all we didn't have and all that we've been through, that God could use something to bring freedom to people around us? So often people are, you know, like, well, you know, they just been through so much. But could it be that God loved you enough to allow you to be trained in the valley so that when you face the giant, you have what you need? Because if you just ran to the giant with no training, you'd probably be taken out. So we need to get some confidence, not in what we've been through, not in what people say, but in God. Confidence. See, David had confidence in his past and what God had done. And it's not confidence like in ourselves, because confidence in us is limited to us. Confidence, not like arrogance, not like Conor McGregor, you know, strutting around. Like, it's not about me. It's confidence in God. See, real confidence is confidence in something bigger than me, something greater than me. I would even say we need to get some Godfidence. Come on, preacher words. So we need to get some Godfidence about ourselves and what God has brought us through, that he allowed to take place in our lives, that if he allowed it, he was doing something in us to prepare us for the future. So I know it feels like opposition, but really the best opportunities come packaged like opposition. Yep. Come on, the best opportunities
feel that way, but they were fired. They walked out on me. This person in their family, they treat everybody so rough and so bad, and they're so hurtful, and it's so not fair. They haven't been sleeping good at night, or they weren't raised the same way. Nobody was there to encourage them. They didn't have a mom. They didn't have a dad. Could it be that God allowed you to grow up without a mom, without a dad, so that you would be ready and raised up and equipped to be a mom and dad to your children and know what it means to be there? Could it be that God allowed you to grow up without a mom and dad so that you could be a spiritual mom and dad to a generation who's fatherless? Come on. Could it be that God allowed some things to train you for what your future is? Could it be that God allowed that person in your family, in your life, you know the one who they are, they're always pushing your buttons? And please don't elbow them right now. Just keep your eyes locked on. Pastor, you talk to them right now. Just let the Holy Spirit do his work, you know? We all know who that family member is. And if you're like, no, I don't have a family member like that, it's probably you. But that's okay. We've got those people in our lives who like rub us the wrong way, you know, and they treat everybody bad and it's just always hurtful. We know that person, and what happens so easily in those moments is that we get offended, we get hurt, we get offended for people, and so we start carrying around this offense. And could it be that God allowed this rough person to rub you the wrong way in your life to rub some rough edges off of you, because you are rough too, and God wants to rub some rough things off of you so that when you interact with people, you could be the conduit of healing, that you could be the one to bring restoration even when other people aren't acting fair, that you could be the one to offer forgiveness when everybody else is being offended and being hurt. Could it be that God is training you in some flow places, some things that he allowed to take place in your life so that in your future, in your destiny that he's ordained for you, that you could be equipped and ready to kill some giants? Amen. Come on. You've been trained for this battle. So it's time to get some confidence and not some complaining. It's time to get some confidence and not some wishful thinking about if I had just been raised differently. No, you were raised exactly the right way, and God is leading you to the battle to kill some giants. Here's the last one today that I want to give us. Number 5, it is a battle of words. Every battle in the valley is a battle of words. It's a battle of words. In other words, you got a giant in your life. It's yelling at you in your thoughts, in your dreams, telling you you'll never make it. You'll have to deal with this the rest of your life. You're nothing. You're nobody. You're a failure. You're a screw up. You're not going to make it. You don't even belong here. You belong somewhere else. And by and large, when the giant is shouting at us in our lives, we remain silent. Verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And he looked over at David and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, much like what you see right here. Come on. Come on. And he despised him, and he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here, boy, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David had some confidence, and he said to the Philistine, he said, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, let me give you some play-by-play, giant. The Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to cut your head off. And this very day, I will give all the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." So, when fear is yelling at you, what are you going to do? I'm going to yell back. Amen. When anxiety is pressing in, what are you going to do? I'm going to yell back. When that giant is yelling at you, when the thoughts are bombarding you, what are you going to do? I'm going to yell back. And not just yell back in rage or anger or hatred. I'm going to yell back what God has given me. It's called the sword of the Spirit, the word of God that is alive and powerful. I'm going to yell back to my giant. Notice David didn't say, "Look how big and bad I am. You see that lion and that bear giant?" No, he said, You've come against the promises of God? Oh, he's got my back. You think I'm coming into this battle alone, but I ain't coming in alone. I've got God behind me. I've got some confidence. I'm not here with a sling or a stone. I'm here with the very word of God, and he is going to deliver you into my hand. Amen. Come on. It's time we begin to shout back to the thing that's telling you you're going to lose it all and you're not going to make it. You're going to die in this place. And you don't have what it takes. We need some confidence in his word to start shouting back to that giant. The longer you stay silent, the louder that giant's voice gets. Come on, it's time to put an end to it. It's time to be done settling with that giant and start shouting the word back to fear. Fear, you have no place in my family. You have no place in my kids because God doesn't give me fear. In fact, God has given me what I need to take you out. His power, his love, and a sound mind. Come on, anxiety, you have no place in my family any longer because I give God thanks in everything and his peace guards my heart and my mind. You got to go. We got to start shouting back at some things. And I know your neighbors are probably going to hear it. It's okay, but you can just prophesy over them too because I guarantee you they are struggling too. I guarantee you the enemy is pushing them away from God too. And could it be that God brought you next to that? Oh, come on. God brought you next to that noisy, annoying, pain in the butt neighbor. I have great neighbors right now. I'm so thankful. First time in a long time. But could it be that God brought some people in your life so that you could prophesy over them, so that they could hear you singing praises, so that they could hear in that place you want to complain, I dare you to lift up a praise. In that place you never wanted to be and you feel like it's been too long and it's so unfair, you should have been the one chosen, I dare you just to lift up your hands and worship and sing louder than everybody else and just focus in on God. Come on. I love that in the battle of the valley, David never considered fighting the giant. He never said, King, I'll give him my best shot. I'll do what I can. No, he never said that. He said, don't anybody be afraid. I'll take him out. David wasn't there to fight. David was there to kill a giant. I love that it was never an option in his mind. He was there to kill a giant. And the same is true for you. You are not called to fight anxiety all of your life. You are not called to fight depression all of your life. You are not called to cope with an addiction and just try to do good for a little while and then fall and, you know, try to do better again. You are not called to struggle with addiction and fight addiction. You are not called to just fight an enemy. You are called to take it out. You are called to bring freedom to a generation. You are called to cut the head off of some things. I believe that. This prophetic word that God gave me for us today is this. The thing that you're fighting right now, you don't have to fight the rest of your life. The thing that you are fighting, the giant you are fighting right now, you do not have to fight the rest of your life. What is the thing that you've settled with? What is the thing that in the valley and is shouting, you've been running from, you haven't wanted to deal with, and you push it to the side? What is the giant that it needs to exist no longer? Come on, let's get to our feet today. Come on, I believe God wants to bring some confidence in you. He wants to bring out the giant killer in you.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Orlando Church podcast. We hope today's message helps you take another step closer to knowing God and finding freedom through His Word.